Okay, so Psalm 81, if you guys want to turn there. But let me start off by asking, how many of you guys made New Year's resolutions? All right, exactly, why, right? So some people do. I work in a school district. They were talking about it, about some of the things that they were wanting to do for New Year's and whatnot. And a lot of people, obviously, was, I want to spend more time with my family, or I want to go travel. But the majority of them was about how they want to lose weight, how they want to change their diet, how they want to get healthier, how they want to help work out more and whatnot. And they were really excited. They really wanted to see that through. And I asked the question, I said, so what was your resolutions last year? And it was the same thing, right? So what happens is that we don't give it enough time. We don't walk through making these resolutions, because we get distracted, we get discouraged, we get disappointed, whatever that may be. So I started doing some research, and the cool thing is, did you know that the second Friday of January is known as Quitter's Day. Did you guys know that? That's awesome. I was like, man, all right, let's give it 2 weeks and we're done, right? But it gets even better. In case you miss that day because you're going, you know what, I think I could go another week. Well, on January 17th, there's a day called Ditch New Year Resolution Day, right? So if you miss the first time, you have one more time to quit, right? So so then I started looking up, and sure enough, everybody makes health resolutions or whatnot. And it takes 4 months for people to actually stop doing the resolutions. They just give up, they let go. And there's only 1% that actually make it all the way to the end of the year. Isn't that awesome? I was going to say who's the 1%ers, but you guys already said you don't do it, so it's not you. Okay. So, but as I was putting this together, as having these conversations, I felt like God was saying, you know what, this is what I want you to talk about, is that I feel... And you kind of saw it already today of what God's doing, is that he wants you to press in. He wants to call you. He wants to say, come to me. Be filled with my word. Be filled with the word of God, because I got good things for you. Like Pat said through her words, said, stand strong in my strength. Don't be discouraged. Don't believe the lies. Keep focused. Keep my eyes on me. And I feel that's what God was trying to tell me as I was putting this together and I changed my message, was that God wants us to focus on him. Amen. God wants us to press into him. God wants us to open our mouth wide and be fed by him. So I'm already into halfway through my message, but this is awesome, right? It's amazing how God was setting everything up. And then, I actually not even going to go there right now, so I'm going to say this in a minute. But, okay, so we're just going to go on this right now, okay? So we're just going to pray really quick because I'm excited what God's doing, the Holy Spirit, how he's being here. So if you guys hear, it's not by accident. If you guys are here and you're kind of like weighed down or whatnot, just press in, because God's here to give you a New Year resolution map, okay? So Psalm 81, I already got it up there for you. If you want to take out your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, your whatever else you have, and we're just going to read together. It's going to be a few verses. I was going to read out of here, but maybe I'll read out of here because this is good too, because I like the reading out of the Bible. But anyway, it says, Psalms 81, sing praises to God, our strength. Sing to God of Jacob. Sing, beat the tambourines, play the sweet lyre and the harp. Blow the ram's horn at the new moon, and again the full moon, call a festival. For this is required by the decrees of Israel. It is a regulation of God of Jacob. He made it a law for Israel when he attacked Egypt and set us free. I heard an unknown voice say, now I will take the load from your shoulders, and I'll free your hands from the heavy tasks. Amen. You cried out to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered you out of the thundercloud and tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah. Listen to me, O my people, and I will give you a stern warning. O Israel, if you would only listen to me. You must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. For it was I, who? The Lord, your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it with good things. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for what you're already doing ahead of all this. Thank you, Lord God, for setting up the trajectory of where we're going to be walking today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting up the ground for so that the seed could fall on good ground and that eventually down the road it'll be harvested. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would help me to relay the message that you laid on my heart. Help me, Lord Jesus, to just listen to your Holy Spirit. If you want to take it a different way than my notes, that's cool, because it's all about you today, Lord God. Father, but my desire is that there'll be ears to hear, that there'll be touching people's hearts and souls and minds and bodies here today, so that way we could set up what you want to do for the rest of this year, Lord God. Let us be the one percenters. Let us press in and say, God, speak to me. Help us not to get filled on nasty stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. So there it is. So Psalm 81, and I kind of called it the key truths for our lives, right? Of what this verse is trying to say, what Psalms 81 is trying to tell us. And so we're just going to get right into it. The first one is a call to worship. A call to worship. We already experienced this today. And so this is verses 1 through 4. This is Asaph. He is one of the three worship leaders for David as he was reigning. And Asaph wrote this this psalm in celebration of a remembrance of what happened to Israel, how God delivered them, how God took them out of Egypt after 400 years and took them out of there. But guess what? They wandered in the desert for 40. Well, that's not very good, right? But guess what? God was trying to do was show them, I'm a God that you could trust. I'm a God that you can step out of faith, kind of like Pastor Scott was just talking about today. I'm a God that will provide for you. I'm the God that will open up opportunities for you. I'm the God that can help you through all this. So the Asaph is saying, you know what? Break out in singing. Throw a party. Throw a block party. This is something that we should be excited about. This is something that we should be pressing into. This is something that we could really live out because of what God has done. They were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. That was a remembrance of what God had done in the desert. And what they would do is they would go out in the desert and they would do these little booths or huts or whatnot. If you could go to the next slide. And they would decorate it as a remembrance of when they were in the desert. It wasn't very big, but they had fruits, they had color, they had all these things going on because of what they were celebrating. It was stripping it all down to what it would have been like back in the desert. So it's kind of like you guys, it's kind of like us. I used to go camping a lot, but it's kind of like you guys leaving your house, leaving your fifth wheel, leaving your campers, and going camping. And camping on the dirt. You're leaving all your comforts behind. You're leaving your fridge. You got coolers and all that stuff. And you're living off the land, if you want to say, right? Well, that's what they were doing too. But it wasn't to go relax. It was to go worship a God that provided their needs. They went to go worship a God that did everything for them. Kind of like Kristen was talking about. Holy Spirit, fall like rain. They were going there to say, Lord, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Fall on me like you did my ancestors. Let your glory fall down. Lead me like you did with the fire and the cloud. Have your way in me. This is what God's asking you. This is what God's asking me for this next year. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your voice be heard. Change my heart as we stand on your word. This is what they were doing here. It wasn't just a celebration. It was God. Thank you for what you've done. And I get to live this out. Thank you for what you're showing me. Let my words be few, and I'll stand in awe of you. Kristen and I don't talk about my message, or I might tell her, yeah, this is kind of what I'm thinking. But she just picks the songs. Thank you, Kristen. That's the Holy Spirit moving. That's the Holy Spirit. By the way, she's my wife. So, but that's the Holy Spirit moving. That's the Holy Spirit guiding. That's the Holy Spirit going, this is what I want. So in the next verse, is another key truth is remembering God's deliverance. Again, every year they would go back. Every year they would build these huts, these booths, and they would celebrate. Every year it was a reminder of what God had done. Every year it was them sacrificing, saying, Lord, please forgive me because of maybe what I might have done. Please take this load off of my shoulders. Free my hands because I need you. Lord, Father, please do all these things with me. And I remember my own life. I remember what God's done in my life. I remember him taking away or helping me deal with my anger, helping me deal with my rejection, helping me feel get over not feeling wanted. How he helped me get through my shame, my guilt, or the way I used to live and think about who he was. I didn't even care about God. He was a myth and not the legend. Well, now he's not a myth and he is a legend because of what he's done in me. And guess what? He's done the same thing for you. And how many times do we forget? As I was putting this message together, I started thinking about my past and things that I've screwed up and things how I've done and whatnot. It's not to glorify it, not to go, oh, those were the good old days. Those weren't the good old days. Right now is the good old days. Right now is what is I get to live and walk in what God has done in my life. It's kind of like what Pastor Scott was talking about. Stepping out in faith. Needing God's touch. Mind, body, heart. God is wanting us to engage. You guys made that call to the front to come to the altar call to give it what? To thank God. To maybe give up something to God. That's what God's talking about. You guys were already ahead of the game because of why? The Holy Spirit. He's already working everything. He's already working. He's already bringing people forward. He's already dealing with things. Some of it's hard. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a job or whatever that may be. And God's saying, I see you. I hear you. I want to work. I want to work. And this is what God's saying. Remembering the deliverance. Remember where we came from. Just like the Israelites, they had to remember the 400 years of being enslaved. I'm sure they heard it from their fathers and grandfathers and whoever else. And they're going, you know what, I don't want to go back to that. But yet they also heard what was going on and how they had to deal with heavy burdens and challenges and how that would have affected them emotionally and mentally and how overwhelming that would have been for them. Have you guys been there? Have you felt overwhelmed with a few things in life? Have you experienced that to where you feel like you can't go no more, that you want to give up? And God's saying, don't. Don't give up. Be strong. Because I'm there. I'll take off that burden. I'll free your hands. So my question for you is, what has God delivered you from? What does God need to deliver you from? Something to ponder. Because sometimes we forget and we have to remember how good it felt when God heard our cry. When I went back, I remember that. I remember getting saved because my life was so screwed up. I remember that feeling. I remember coming up to the altar for an altar call and giving my life over to the Lord. And I tell you what, how I felt, I'm just speaking on my own. You guys know your own story. But I felt a weight taken off my shoulders. I felt a joy in my heart. I felt a gladness. And the one thing I felt the most was my dad died when I was 7, was never having a father figure. And I'm telling you, at that moment, I felt an embrace of God saying, I love you. You're special. I care for you. And I think sometimes, even today, we miss that. We become so Christianized that we have to go through Bible studies, we have to go through these different things or whatnot. And guess what? We're not reading the Word. We're not reading the embrace of what God's given us. And God's saying, come back to me. Come back to the heart of worship. Because this is where you're going to find it. That's where you're going to find that joy. The second truth is heeding the warning. You know, he's speaking through the psalmist, and he gives a warning. It's a listen to me moment. A listen to me. What that means is, hey, guess what? I'm going to say something. I might say it twice, and you better listen. Because if you don't, there's going to be consequences. Have you ever heard that before? I know I did when I was growing up. And even sometimes from Kristen, right? So it's like, listen to me. Listen to me. Otherwise, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be something that's going to happen. And sometimes those things, we don't even see them coming. So many of you guys already know that Kristen and I have a puppy. His name's Max. I introduce you to Max. 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 Max, come here. See? Sometimes he doesn't listen. Right? So there's Max. We got him when he was 7 weeks old, right? And awesome dog. He's a Labradoodle, pointer mix, really smart, cool dog. But I tell you what, he's like a little kid. You know, like you just follow. You call him, he doesn't come to you all the time, right? And you have to like give him a warning, come here. So as we train him, as he's going through the plants and he's taking Kleenexes, socks, as he's not coming to you and he's doing all these things, we have to what? Train them to redirect them. We have to tell them, leave it. Leave that bad thing. Don't take the water. Don't take that. Don't eat the plants. Leave it. Come here, Max, come here. And we have to give him a treat. And he comes and he starts realizing, oh, okay, if I leave that alone, this is good. And it's the same way with God. God's saying, be careful with what you're doing. Be careful what is causing you to not connect with me. And he wants to redirect us into his word. He wants to redirect us and say, you know what? This is good. It's a positive reinforcement. Say, no, don't do that thing there. Come to me, for I will fill you. I will fill you. And that's what it's all about. It's about turning our eyes from that's a warning or whatnot, and trusting in God and allowing him to redirect us to that what is good. So my question to you is, what's a warning that God's giving you or trying to show you today? What's a warning that, hey, listen to me, warning for you right now? What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that's keeping you from not really pressing in? What's that thing that's keeping you from not hearing God? What's that thing that's keeping you on the chair and not coming forward because you're going, oh, I don't know, this is kind of like big stuff right here, so I have to figure this out first. I've been there. That's not the way to go. It's surrendering. It's letting go. The other key truth is complete devotion. Complete devotion means surrendering your entire heart and mind to what is God, expressing a deep, unwavering love, reference, and commitment to him. Kind of like what Pastor Scott again was talking about earlier. It's how do we pray, how do we give everything to him? How do we present to him everything that that we have that we're holding back? Are you guys with me? Are you guys all right? Okay, all right, because I wasn't sure if you guys are like checking out already or what, but you know, this is good. I'm excited because it really touched my heart, and it gave me something for this next year to really work on, because I want it. I want what God has it. And how does that happen? It happens through us following his word, prayer, meditation, study, right? On Wednesday, we had our Bible study at our house, and we had a couple of people there when eating dinner. And one of the things that I said was, we're going to study the book of Acts, but I'm not going to give you all the fun facts and all those things. Is you guys have experienced God in your life. So as we read through Acts, how did that reflect who you are and where you're at right now? And I asked them to share that. And it was amazing to hear these people's stories from being born a Christian, right? Or maybe even a couple years later into it, they become and they accept Christ. And they start telling us about the faith and how God worked and how God did things in their lives and how God set things up. And it was amazing to hear. And I was listening and I was going, you know what? I'm sitting at a table with over 300 years of faithfulness. 300 years of faithfulness. People who have walked with the Lord. People who have listened to the Lord. Not that they were perfect. Not that they did everything in righteousness. But guess what? They just stayed faithful. They stayed faithful 300 years. And that encouraged me. Because of what they shared. It encouraged me because I said, you know what? I want to be like one of them. You know, I'm only, 30 years into it. I'm talking about people who had been with them for 50, 60 years. And that's an encouragement. So I encourage you today. If you're new in your faith, connect with somebody who has walked it. Connect with somebody who can mentor you. Connect with somebody, even if you don't know them. And ask them questions. Or better yet, take them out for a coffee and listen to their story. Everybody in here has a story. Everybody here has influence. Everybody here has something to share. But you know what we do? No, that's pastor's job. We need an evangelist. We need somebody else to do it for us. No, that's you. You're the one. You're the one. You know, this verse right here, it also says, in this verse, it's right here. I'll just read it out of 10. But it talks about not having any other gods. Listen to me, O my people. Why give you a stern warning? You must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. And that's what God's saying. He's like, don't put other gods before you. You know what happens to us? You know what happens to us as we go through our lives? This becomes more important. This becomes more important. I actually saw a little snippet of a speaker just this last week, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to steal that, but I'm not going to steal the whole thing. But anyways, so they were talking about how many times we say we're Christians. We say we want to press into God. We say all the right things. You know the Christianese, right? Raise your hand if you know what to say. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. All right, yeah. Hey, how do they say? Oh, you know, God's good all the time. Yeah, right? But in reality, we're not, because we're going like this. Oh, shoot, the football game. Or, oh, shoot, somebody on Facebook or somebody on the YouTube has posted something. It's making me jealous. And we start getting all our information from here instead of really focusing on God. Even though there's a lot of things on here that are good, right? There's a lot of good messages out there. There's a lot of good speakers, a lot of good people that do Bible studies on the YouTube. And we want to eat that up. And we're going, yeah, see, I'm a good Christian. Are you guys laughing because I said the YouTube? But you know what? That's not what it is. I saw a commercial that said, now I get to live my life because my network's my connection. My network's my lifeline. Think about that. This right here has become a lifeline for people. And they're trying to sell you on that. You know what? If the power went down right now and the towers got hit, you have nothing. You're not going to survive. How are you going to get to Albany? Yeah, there's no Google Maps, right? And that's what they want you to believe. That's what they're selling to you. It's like, you know what? We have everything right here. You're not going to be able to live without this. And guess what? I don't want my lifeline to be based on a phone, on a connection that they're trying to feed me stuff that I don't need to hear. We bypass the word of God, and God's saying, this is your lifeline. This is your connection. If you're feeling like you don't have hope, if you feel like you don't have direction, if you feel like you don't have a purpose, if you feel like you're listening to the enemy because of all these lies he's telling you, kind of like what Pastor Scott was talking about, we're believing all these things, is because you don't have the right lifeline. You don't have the right lifeline. These words in red, that's your lifeline. This is your guide. This is your compass. This is where you find that fulfillment. But how much easier is to find things on here? You know how powerful this is? And that's what the enemy's trying to do. You know, I do it, right? I look at my phone. I look at sports. I'm not looking at things or whatever. But one thing that I have to be careful is I'm not replacing God with this. One thing you have to be careful is it's okay to listen to it, to supplement my reading, to supplement my growing, and not depend on this. So to me, how I look at it, this is my spiritual food. This is my vitamin. Right? This should be your vitamin. This should give you the extra minerals that you need, that extra Holy Spirit knowledge going, oh, okay, hey, that, you know, I read that already, and I understand that. It's to supplement what you already read on your own, what the Holy Spirit is teaching you out of the Word, because guess what? When we focus on the Word of God, that's where the Holy Spirit's going to work. But when we're preoccupied with this and we use this as our supplement, that's when things go wrong. All right, I don't know who that was for. That wasn't even my notes. So you're welcome. So where was I? Okay, so the question, I don't think I asked the question yet. So the question is, what would complete devotion to God look like in your life today? What does complete devotion look like in your life today? Maybe I stepped on some toes. You're welcome. But that was God, so take it up on him, right? Or maybe you are pressing in. Good. But guess what? There's more. Open wide. The other truth is open wide. So for 5 years, my daughter, Hannah, she's been nannying these two kids for since they were born. And awesome kids. They're funny. Got them right here. This is the one on the left is Alvin. The one on the right is Wilder. And awesome kids, right? And they have a lot of energy, and they have a lot of sass and whatnot. And when you try, and over the times, yeah, there's Alvin. This is Wilder. And they love their sugars, let me tell you, right? They eat chocolate milk. They eat candy. They eat candy bars, cereal bars. It's like, man, what are these people feeding them, right? But that's what they want. That's what gives them happy, right? And it's like, man, I just want to eat more. I want to eat more. But yet when we try to give them lunch or a snack and we try to give them something healthy, this is what you get, right? They're a lot better now because I think this is a couple of years back or whatnot. But it was a battle. You know, they're like, oh, they throw a tantrum. They don't want to do it. They get off from the chair, and you're telling them to get back. Well, you better get back, or you're not going to get nothing else, right? You ever hear that one? I used that one a few times with my kids, but not with them because these aren't my kids, right? So anyways, but you try to offer them food, and they don't want it. They're like pushing you back and saying, no, 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 and they want to take off and leave. And they're rejecting the pure food that we're trying to give them. The food that has all the vitamins, all the protein, all the stuff that would help them to be strong, that would help them to grow strong. They didn't want it. And a lot of times as we go through lives, we pray, Lord, increase my hunger for you. Lord, increase my hunger. Sounds right, right? But in theory, that's not the right question. It's not accurate. For God's not the one that says you're hungry. Who decides if you're hungry or not? You do. Who defines, right? Okay, I heard somebody out there. You're the one that defines who's hungry, not God. God is there saying, hey, you know what? I got food right here. When you're ready to eat and taste that I am good, come and read it. We're the ones that decide, I want it. I want that word. So I grew up in a Hispanic family. My mom's Colombian and Colombian. She passed away, so is Colombian? I don't have to pass away. Anyways, okay, rabbit trail. So she passed away, Colombian, right? And every time you go over there, she's always making these big old huge dinners with these big old plates. And she's going, mijo, here, coma, which means son, here, eat, right? It's like, mom, I'm not really hungry. You know, I don't want to mess this up. But she's like pushing the food on you, and she's pushing. It's like, all right, fine, I'll eat. And then no joke, like half hour later, do you want this? You want these cookies? Do you want these chips? Do you want blah, blah, blah? No, mom, I don't want it. No, no, here, eat. I'm sure there's nobody like this in here with their grandkids or anything like that. So this is just my family. But they're always pushing food on us when we don't want it, right? But then what happens is we kind of get over full and we're not active, right? Because we're so full. And that's what happens is that we get full on the sugar that the world's trying to give us. We get on the sugar high. It only lasts a few minutes. And God's saying, don't eat the sugar. Eat the meat. Eat what is good. Eat what is good, and I'll satisfy you. But the world is like totally jamming your face with food and saying, no, you need this, you need that. No, you can't live with this, you can't live with that, without that. And how many times have we bought into this? I didn't put this quote out there, but it's from David Platt, and he's saying, if you just open your mouth wide and if you look at me for satisfaction, look for me for joy, look for me for fulfillment, look to me for security, look to me for all these things, I will satisfy you more than anything else in this world, more than anything in this room put together. I will give you security that nothing in this world can take away from you. I will give you a joy that surpasses all circumstances. Amen? I will give you an identity that's unshakable for all eternity. If you will just look at me, trust in me, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Amen. That's an amen moment. Because he's saying right there, hey, you know what? This is what God wants to give you. This is what I see through the word of God. Many times we don't experience that satisfaction, that joy, that fulfillment, that security. Because guess what? Just like those kids, we shut our mouths. We clamp down. We push away. We stomp off. Because it's not something that we want. We've been given the sugar, and we replace the word with that. And God's saying, be careful. Trust in me. So my question to you is, what are you being filled with? What is it in this world that's keeping you from really knowing God? What are you being filled with? What sugar? What's your sugar? These are easy questions, right? Hey, Pastor Scott, you should make this one of the questions for next week. Okay, this would be a good discussion for starter. The last one, I mean, we're really breaking down these verses, right? So, and that's what God wants. He's like, you don't have to read like, 10 chapters on one day. Sometimes it's just a snippet, a word that God presents to you. Even if it's just a sentence, you're going, okay, that's it. I'm getting a lot out of here. And that's what happened when I was doing this. It's like God was just saying, you know what? This is good. This is what you need at that moment. Share it with everybody else. Be filled. In 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, it says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must what? Crave pure spiritual milk so that you would what? Grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Are we crying out for that nourishment today? Okay. Now that you have tasted the Lord's kindness. Man, that is so awesome. That's saying that through our salvation, what we already talked about today, even how he touched my life, God's saying, look, you already tasted a little bit of it. You already tasted what was good. You already tasted what I have for you. Now I want you to want more. I want you to grow. I want you to be filled even more. Amen. In John 4:31 through 34, it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought anything to eat? Anything to him to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. God doesn't feed us to fatten us. God doesn't feed us so that way we could just chill on the couch. God feeds us to give you strength. God feeds you so that way you could go out and do his mission, his purpose. So that's why we have discover who God is. Who's God? How is he working in your life? What is he doing? What is he stirring? That's discovering God. Who is he? What's his character like? Grow in faith in your relationship. That's growing in the Word. That's getting into the Word. That's every day waking up and bypassing, maybe putting this off and saying, you know what? Oh, I really want the sugar, but I know I need the main meal. I need to bypass that so that way I can really get to know who God is. And then eventually, once you start build up, it's impacting the world. How are you going to share it? How are you gonna share that love that God has for you? Jesus even said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Well, guess what? You guys have that same thing. God's giving you something to do. God is giving you, he's sending you into your area of influence. Did you guys catch that? What's your area of influence? Oh, I'm retired. Wrong answer. There's no retirement. So again, what's your area of influence? Is it here in the church? Is it helping out in different ministries like the sound ministry, hospitality? If you don't have many friends, that's okay. You can do ministry here. If you're a teacher, your influence is in the school, not with just the students, even with the other teachers. If you're in the police department, you have influence there. If you work for the city, if you work for a grocery store, if you work for anywhere, a bus driver, you have influence. Because people are what? They're watching you. They're watching how you speak. They're watching what you're doing. And what are they seeing? What are they seeing? How are you impacting them? One thing that I've learned by going through leadership is your influence goes two ways. It's either going to be good influence or bad influence. And people are going to follow. So my question to you is, what's your influence? How are you using, or what work is God asking you to do today for him? What is God asking you to do? What is he asking you to step out on? It's a scary question to ask because then we'll go, oh, I don't want to do that. But what is God asking you to do? And are you going to be faithful? This is good. You guys having a good time? Amen. Amen. All right. This is awesome. I'm glad you guys are having a good time because this is the end. Okay, so if Kristen wants to come up. So what's the point? So what? It goes back to that whole New Year's resolution, right? God's setting up for you. It's like, this is what I want you to do. Worship me. He wants you to. I also forgot all of them already. He wants to have it for you to be devoted to him. Heed the warning. He wants you to open your mouth and be filled. Amen. That's what he wants you to do. And I pray for at least this many people here that we could get 100% buy into that. That at the end of the year we could say, you know what? I stayed faithful.
Thank you. I stayed faithful. I want to stay faithful. I want to open up my mouth and be filled this year. And I challenge you to open up yours. So with that said, is I want us to go into the heart of worship. The heart of worship. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about who? It's all about God. So let this be the beginning of a year where it's God-focused, God-centered, and that we can share that with others. Amen? So, Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. I pray, Lord Father, that through this message of what you're already doing through here, through the Holy Spirit and the words and the encouragement through Pastor Scott and the anointing and the worship, Lord Father, I pray that this message would just resonate with us. Help us, Lord God, to open up our minds, our souls, our spirits. Help us, Lord Jesus, to open our mouths spiritually so that way we can intake what you're trying to give us. Lord Father, I pray, Lord God, that the next days and weeks and months and this whole year to come, that I could rip out these pages and eat them. That they would feed me, that they would fill me. Help me to accept. Help me not to push out with my hands. Help me not to clench my mouth because I don't want it. I want that to happen for the sugar that the world's trying to give me. But I want to open wide to you, to the food, the spiritual food, so that way I can experience that satisfaction, that fulfillment, that joy. That way I can experience that embrace, that comfort, and that loving embrace that says, you're a child of God. You matter. You have purpose. And I'm holding you. Arms and shoulders that we get to cry in and we get to just snuggle with, because life's hard. And God knows that. Jesus knew that. But he stood on the word of God, the word of his Father. So Lord Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we close, help us to trust in you. Help us to look to you. Help us to hear you. For you're a good God. Amen.